And good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for spending your valuable time right here, Brighteon TV Uncensored. What do the original billionaires that went down on the Titanic 1912, Nikola Tesla, and the newest billionaire, Shahzada Dawood, that went down on the Ocean Gate, what do they all have in common? Well, if you look back at those on the original Titanic, they opposed the Federal Reserve. If we look at Shahzada Dawood, his company in charge of electrical infrastructure wanted to move to Tesla Technologies, Perandev Magnetic Motors for rollout into remoter Pakistan. And also, word was not really happy with central bank digital currencies due to how much tracking it would be with those coming on the system. Whether it's free power, free money, you see that there's still so much power entrenched in these industries across our planet. We're going to connect all three right when we come back.
In recent years, the world has only become increasingly more chaotic and uncertain. Disruptions to the supply chain have resulted in global food shortages, making it difficult for us to access the very resources we need to live in a functioning society. That's why it is now more important than ever to be prepared for the unexpected. Here at Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com, we've made it our mission to help you and your loved ones be prepared for any emergency. Which is why we are dedicated to bringing you a wide selection of ultra-clean and lab-verified superfoods, supplements, preparedness items, and other health products. So support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com today.
And welcome back. Thank you for staying around. Joining me, David Dubine, your host right here. Mini Ice Age Conversations every other Friday, 2 to 3 p.m. Brighteon TV, Uncensored. Let's go deep. And when I talk about that, depth. And where depth can be used in many ways. Depth of the money supply, depth of water, or the depths of corruption and entanglement in industries across our planet, from central banking to energy, manufacturing, and everything in between. Now, let's do a chapter of history. I'm going to wind a little bit further back, 100 plus years ago, into modern oceanic events mixed in with Tesla technologies and see how this all weaves into a story. It's almost so unbelievable that when I was putting it together today, I was thinking, wow, this is just beyond bizarro. It's more like a Twilight Zone episode than it would be real life when we start to put the pieces together. But as we see here, the depth of money cycles, very familiar. Titanic, the movie, 1912. But what really went on at that time? So there's some back and forth between, the true events of what happened with these three, what quote unquote billionaires, or they were millionaires of their time, but in today's monies, they would all be billionaires, the biggest magnates of hotels and industries, mining with the Guggenheim. So another thing they all had in common, they didn't want anything to do with the Federal Reserve formation back before it was formed. They were invited to the meetings, they objected to them, and then what happened on Jekyll Island is another step in history itself. But it's interesting that those three that all opposed the Federal Reserve were on the Titanic. JP Morgan was supposed to be, but then pulled out at the very last second and didn't sail. They did. They were gone. They all lost their lives. Now, Nikola Tesla is also intertwined with JP Morgan. Free energy, we can't have that. Because, see, Nikola Tesla was about to put out wireless power and understood that you didn't need to burn anything. You didn't need to drill for oil, mine for coal. We didn't need to do any mining to get copper out here either. We wouldn't have a wireless world where we wouldn't need any copper cabling. So look, trace over the last 120 years how much money has been made just from copper that we wouldn't have needed in any way, shape, or form. So trace back 120 years and think about how the world is today. If we didn't need to burn anything, mine for anything, and we were just using the Earth's magnetic field to power all of our devices, that we do burn stuff now to make the spindle move. You could have done that with the Earth's magnetic field with magnets. And then we come to today. Shahzada Dawood. The story is, at least the mainstream media, he was never associated with the World Economic Forum. He never wanted to do free power. It was central bank digital currency. He was all for it. But then the next hand says, oh, he was never associated with the World Economic Forum and had nothing to do with it. That's all hearsay. And I'm like, whoa. All right. So it's pretty easy to backtrack this stuff. It's on the net. And they couldn't have scrubbed it all that quickly. So when we do look at it here, I'll read it for you. He was the one that's down in the Ocean Gate along with his son, who was going to take over the business and help him roll out power to Pakistan. And they weren't going to roll out power the traditional way of putting the copper lines up there and dragging it like they were doing up to Mount Everest with the Chinese. If you've seen those videos, got ant lines dragging high tension cables up the mountains. Nope. They were just going to go straight up Parandev magnetic motors and put them in villages. Microhydro along the streams, Parandev magnetic motors in there. Forget your solar panels, don't need them. We're going to get more reliable power from the Earth's magnetic field than you ever would from the sun. I mean, the photons, not the actual magnetic field. Got to split the hair there. So anyway, Pakistani billionaire involved in new currency, central bank digital currency. You know, he's one of the most powerful, influential families. Of course, he's invited to the table. But he was doing so many other things also to leave his legacy. It was far about the money at that point. This guy is more about legacy, positive legacy for the planet, being remembered throughout history of helping humanity, not destroying it. So when you start to, you know, frame in this kind of mind into what they and his family and group wanted to do in Pakistan, it takes a whole different twist than just some greedy dude up there wanting to electrify the country. So if we read a little bit more about, he'd spoken at the World Economic Forum on several occasions. Now, this is off of Wikipedia, and it says failed verification. And I know they just changed that, because it says that means that you can't be verified. So if anybody was going to do a quick search, they go, oh, no, he wasn't there. He was not a speaker at the World Economic Forum. But he's also heavily involved in women's rights and bringing up from the poverty level, starting with women in these remoter villages, this from the farm to the farm gate and, you know, the agricultural sectors of it and just different ways for people to make money in the country and bring up the livelihood of everybody in the country so the entire country prospers, not just a single segment. He was all over about vast networking out into giving everybody the same opportunity to have rural power. And that way they could, with their farm goods, process them out in the countryside versus having to bring them in and the wholesalers take a huge gouge out of it and then it gets sent to a city. He's like, we're going to do it out there. We're going to start at the community level and we'll bring it back into the cities versus the other way around. So here's, just go to the World Economic Forum. You can find, he got his own page there, his own page. And look at this. He is a member of the Global Advisory Board for Prince Charles Charity and Prince's Trust International. Now, in addition to that, there's a slew of, and he's also sitting on a board of directors in SETI. All right, what's that all about too? Like this guy's fingers are everywhere in every single industry or leading new technologies coming out on the planet. And he was going to innovate and put some of those into the rest of the remote countryside. Now, can you imagine being remembered that in history in your country for doing that? So if I could read to you in the blue, in case you're just listening along while you're, you know, doing something else, including the World Economic, it says Shahzada is a leading voice for institutionalization of key international works networks, including World Economic Forum. Under his guidance, Allegro, that's one of their flagship companies, has become Pakistan's first company to sign a commitment sponsored by the World Economic Forum International Business Council to implement stakeholder capitalism metrics in Pakistan. And he's also vice chairman at the BIC, which also joined the World Economic Forum and the Global Plastic Action Partnership to promote circular economy. And that's where it comes down to the farm gate again. Like anywhere there's non-wastage, something you can do further out in the country without having to rely on delivery systems back into a centralized location. Like if you can harvest it out there and refine it out there and turn it into a higher value product, which then could be transported, you're cutting probably 70% of that entire weight volume to get it to another place. You know, being that deep and involved inside the World Economic Forum on their policy board for, like I say, commitment to sponsor stakeholder capitalism metrics. We hear all these, you know, key words all the time, do we not? But here's the thing, we're Bank for International Settlements, Austin, Karstens, we don't know who's using a $100 bill. We don't know who's using a 1,000 peso bill. Hey, Karsten, you don't need to know. Privacy, my friend, privacy. The key difference with CBDC is the central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of the central bank's liability, meaning if you speak out against XYZ class of people, XYZ business genre, XYZ government overseership, they're going to cut your access to it. Again, you know, seeing the inner workings and the depths into this, it seems some people got spooked in emerging markets and said, well, good for the commerce, not good for the regular people. Little change of heart, big repercussions underwater. So this comes off Tom Emmer, he's a Republican, Minnesota. Not only would central bank digital currency models centralize Americans' financial information, leaving it vulnerable, but it also be used as a surveillance tool. And Americans should never tolerate this from their governments, government, uniparty, whatever it is now, it's morphed into something different than what was originally intended. I'm sure we all see that. If you're here watching this broadcast, you see it. So if you do want to follow along and you are interested how central bank digital currencies are or evolving, are they in the pilot program, are they under development, or how's it working, you can go right here to cbdctracker.org and you can see the development mechanisms in every single country across the planet. Now, what I found interesting in Africa, it is going to leapfrog and they're going to borrow others' technology. So there might not be a very specific one for Mali, but they'll probably tag on to the one from Egypt or something like this. And they'll just cross swap through and they'll use the same technologies. And the, you know, African Union has its own African Union. So they share technologies, economy, transportation. So why would they not share logistics and inner workings for central bank digital currencies that could run through Africa on stablecoin payments? Of course they could. So a lot of these that are marked in white, they're never going to have their own CBDC programs. They're going to piggyback on others on the infrastructure. But anyway, it gives you a good idea. So the question was poised then, you know, as we're moving into the central bank digital currencies in Pakistan, and, you know, the leading heads like Shahzada Dawood and companies at that level intertwined with the World Economic Forum, they are a direct seat at the table in these discussions. So what happened? It seems like somebody said, we don't want that. And suddenly, you know, they're a major news headline with the son who was going to be the heir to the company. One of them, his several sons. So should Pakistan explore central bank digital currencies? Here's where it gets into. There are 100 million unbanked adults in Pakistan. So they needed electricity to give them phones to get them onto the systems. Now, how are you going to do that in a rapid fashion? You're not going to string lines and telephone poles and copper cables all over the whole country. That's going to be cumbersome, prone to attacks everywhere, and it's just not going to happen. So you're going to have to leapfrog that. Well, you can say, well, yeah, we can go to solar panels, but then you know the inverters need the batteries. It's vulnerable. You got to leave it outside. It's bulky. You need to leave it outside. It's huge. You need to collect a huge amount of power to power a village. You know, we're not talking about square meters to power a village anymore. You're talking about acres or hectares of coverage. But magnetic motors are smaller, half the size of this desk that can run inside multiple homes. One of the devices would be enough at their power consumption usage for probably 10 homes. Something the size of this that could tuck in the corner. This is the kind of leapfrog technologies, disruptive technologies that were being referenced and talked about in the rollout to get central bank digital currencies up into the mountains. Now there's this loggerhead, like two rams coming at it. The additional, we got to milk every dollar by all this infrastructure, needless things, again, copper cabling, poles, labor, roads, all these things that were unneeded. Or we just take the power direct and it just use their power direct there and then they just use it on site and there's no connection. But then somebody's going to lose out on the money. And this is where it runs into it. Most of these are women. Out of 100 million unbanked, most are women. And that was one of the focuses that their company and organization was on, was the empowerment and betterment and enrichment of, you know, that base level of society. Start with the women first. Start with the villages first. You're going to bring it all up at that point. If a bubble's in the countryside, it's definitely going to meet the city at some point. But going from the city out there, everything's overlooked, as we see already what's happening. So these technologies are based on local solutions. This guy had it. He really did. Shahzada Dawood, he understood it, but he paid for it, literally paid for it with his life. So how does that wind back into the original sinking of the Titanic, which gets even stranger who the captain of that sub was, based on the people who were on the Titanic originally? So these three men worth $11 billion of today's money, Benjamin Guggenheim, you've heard of the Guggenheim Museum, that person. Isa Strauss, Macy's, you've heard of Macy's out of New York, Macy's Day Parade, that person. And Jacob Astor, you ever heard of the Astor Hotel? That person. Now, they were all opposed to central banks being set up. This is when they had the meetings in 1910. And subsequently, as things had rolled through, you know, they had a financial crisis in 1907. But if we look at Isidore Strauss, owner of Macy's, and his wife, Ida, you know, they were famous. They were the ones who were in the bed in the Titanic when it sank in the movie. So you look at these, you go, all right, well, a billionaire, they're opposed to it. Now, how is it different? Well, the submersible pilot's spouse is a great-great-granddaughter of these same people. So the woman that you see there, I'll back the slide up, this woman here, Ida Strauss, descendants, bring it down to the great-great-granddaughter. She was the captain of the sub that just went missing. How strange is that? A little woo-woo for my taste. Something's really, you know, strangely connected here. So if we do look at the Titanic victim, 1912, not the recent 1912. We've got John Jacob Astor, Benjamin Guggenheim, and Isidore Strauss. Now, they saw the dangers inherent with the rolling out and the Federal Reserve policies. And by the way, the Federal Reserve is not federal, and it's not a reserve in any way, shape, or form. It prints currencies and charges interest on you to devalue your dollars. And that's why when you buy something, it's worth nothing and you're paying double for your groceries. And it's not federal. There's nothing federal about it. What the federal is the U.S. Treasury that mints coinage, gold and silver coinage. That's federal. These are fake federal. They put a fake name up there, Federal Reserve. They print money out of thin air. They loan it to the American government at interest, which has to be paid back. Now, how much are the interest payments currently? Something around $1 trillion a year. Because they were given the power to loan the American government the money going around the Treasury. And then once that money was issued, we, the taxpayers, got stuck getting gouged 2% per year to pay them back. That 2% goes into their money pockets of the elite class. There's more like the leisure class, the parasite class, is being funded by your tax dollars that are illegally minted through the Federal Reserve. You want to talk about counterfeiting the feds? That's it. So they saw that way back before the Fed was even formed in 1913. Now, here's another factoid that might go into the woo-woo category. John Jacob Astor, Waldorf Astoria, who was famous that stayed at the Waldorf Astoria for many, 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 many years and also received funding from John Astor, no less than Nikola Tesla. Now, you got to remember at the time, Nikola Tesla had gotten funding from J.P. Morgan, but building Wycliffe Tower in 1901, they destroyed it in 1917. He ran out of money because the real building project should have been closer to probably about $1 million. But J.P. Morgan gave him $150,000 at that time. Should have been closer to $1 million even at that time to build up wireless technologies, transmission towers. So he got the loan from J.P. Morgan to start on this original project for the Wycliffe Tower. He ran out of money. Guess who gave him the money that was into wireless technologies? John Jacob Astor, who perished in the Titanic also. You can't tell me there's this much intertwining with free power devices. And even at that time, 100 plus years ago, they were going to stop the rollout of copper cables across the United States and the wiring and the electrification of our nation and just straight up go to wireless power and Earth's magnetic field devices. Astor bought shares in Tesla's company to fund him to continue the research when J.P. Morgan pulled out. And J.P. Morgan steps off the Titanic the moment before it leaves, and these three gentlemen are left there on the Titanic to perish. Strange. Wycliffe Tower, or Wardenclyffe Tower, excuse me. 1901, construction begins, and the American government tears it down in 1917. Now, Guggenheim was also involved with this because he and Astor saw that there would be a chance to not have to wire the planet, because Guggenheim money came from mining. And they're like, whoa, what if we stop the mining? What will happen to the world's economy if we stop mining and we don't go for the full rollout of billions of tons of copper to be mined and refined? Now, he was also talking with Tesla to see if they could use some of this new technology on Earth's magnetic field to power motors to do the mining. And also something about the vibration of the atoms itself to recombine them and pull them literally out of the rock versus what we have to do to crush rock with substrate and add the different chemicals in it to remove the metals that we do today. They were talking about vibrational frequency to do the mining once the rock was out versus putting it in solvents and crushing it to actually electrify it and pull those minerals out, literally magic for a better term. That's what he was working on with Tesla, and they both ended up on the boat at the same time on the Titanic. A little strange from my, you know, once you dig into this, it gets strangely bizarre. The tech that was around in the early 1900s blows what we have away today. We've gone back in time. We've gone caveman style back. We're living in square caves. So the ending of the panic in 1907, now how did Morgan get his fingers into all these things here? Well, the panic of 1907, there was a stock market crash. Everything was collapsing, complete collapse, shutdowns, bank runs, upheaval across America in 1907. But John D. Rockefeller committed his own funds, and then J.P. Morgan committed his own funds, but then he persuaded all these other banks along with politicians to declare a state of emergency. And then the Aldrich Act was passed in 1908. That's the Vreeland Act from Mr. Aldrich, who shall go down in infamy of selling out our nation. What it established at that point was once they had the banking contagion, they had all these big magnates and giant, you know, banking interests throw in money to bail out our government. Our government was beholden to them at that point. They bailed out a complete collapse of the United States. So all they did was ask one single request. We want to form this new body called the Federal Reserve and be in control of the money, because you obviously can't do it. Your whole country collapsed and we had to bail you out. We're the only ones that can control the money. And Nelson Aldrich, senator, got this thing inked. And I couldn't believe it. You know when they inked it? December 23rd, when everybody from Congress and when they were all out. Everybody was out. They were back home for Christmas. Remember, there was no internet back then. Telephones were sketchy at best. Everybody was home for Christmas break. And when did they do this? The 23rd in the evening, December 23rd, to get this passed. There was nobody in session. They just went in, passed it. Nobody here. Anybody object? Nobody's there. So there's 18 members on this, and it's a National Monetary Commission. And this is how these are all totally interlinked. Now, if you want to do more research, the Jekyll Island Group is the final pull from this. So Paul Warburg, these are some of the famous, you know, names. And then Senator Nelson Aldrich found himself on the board controlling what was then billions of dollars. Convenient. Politician steps right into that board of governors. Wow. How did that happen? And you can see the smugness around the table there. Creature from Jekyll Island is a great book to read. Now, if you look at who the final seven were that were controlling the money after that, the only three that were opposed to it weren't at that table, and they were on the Titanic that sank. Convenient or just coincidental? I'm curious. And then World War I started just less than a year later after all of this was complete. Hey, you can print money to create weapons now out of thin air. Again, the steps in progression, World War II, and now we see ourselves at the cusp of World War III. We're going to continue with Nikola Tesla when we come back from the break. I'll see you then.
This was made possible by Brighteon.com. After being deplatformed by YouTube, I built Brighteon.com so that we can speak. All voices of dissent are welcome. Join Brighteon.com now. Post your videos today and start building an audience there where you will not be censored. Brighteon.com. Nearly all the vitamin C sold at retail today comes from China, and it's made from genetically modified corn. Even though vitamin C is a critical part of immune support, it's also critical to know where your vitamin C comes from. I'm Mike Adams, the founder of Brighteon and BrighteonStore.com. And we only sell non-China, non-GMO vitamin C. We then subject it to rigorous laboratory testing in our own food science lab, checking for heavy metals, glyphosate, as well as microbiological contamination. Only after it passes our tests do we encapsulate it and package it for our audience. You can find it at BrighteonStore.com. It's not the cheapest vitamin C on the market, but it is by far the most rigorously tested and honestly sourced vitamin C available anywhere in the world. Support your health and this free speech platform by shopping at BrighteonStore.com.
Hey, and welcome back for the second segment here, Mini Ice Age Conversations. I'm your host, David Dubine, every other Friday from 2 to 3 p.m. right here, Brighteon TV, uncensored. Now, before the break, I was talking about the creature from Jekyll Island, the secret meetings on Jekyll Island for the formation of the Federal Reserve, and those opposed to it happened to be on the Titanic when it sank in 1912. After the ratification and formation of the Federal Reserve, World War I starts just a year later. Unlimited money printing at that point. That was the first actual inflation to be seen, was the conflict. So from 1913 to 1918, the dollars at that time saw their first 5% reduction in value through the inflation of printing for the war effort. Again, America had to get lured in with Lusitania and all those weapons bought, paid for, manufactured. And that was truly the beginning of the military-industrial complex as we understand it. Because after the Civil War had ended, it kind of quieted for a few moments and then right back into it in World War I. Can't keep their fingers off the buttons on these things, can they? So this book right here, The Creature from Jekyll Island, G. Edward Griffin. Excellent. You must read a super thick book. Now, he's been out speaking recently, and if you go to Stansberry Research with Daniela Cambone, he did an excellent interview there. Since he understood the formation of the Federal Reserve, he's quite attuned into what's happening with the new central bank digital currencies and the very easy parallels to see between this. His words, not mine. The same people that interfere with the rollouts of the central bank digital currency will be eliminated. It's way easier to do today. What are we seeing? People just unexpectedly disappearing. Things happen, strange accidents. And anybody that's opposed to CBDC rollouts in countries or wanting to leapfrog disruptive technologies ahead of what they're supposed to roll out with the narratives of solar panels and windmills, if they want to jump ahead of that, well, that's not good either. So it seems if you have a lot of money and you're in an industry, you're kind of locked in. You can't go into the future because a lot of these people who have money are futurists that see it. And they just have to kind of, you know, bite their tongue and stay back in the old, like I say, square cave world that we're living in. But what's so interesting, this is, when you talk about the Astors and the Strauss and the Guggenheims and these types of moneyed families, Morgans, etc. during that time, this is Fifth Avenue here, the row, the jaded mansions. Now, New York City with this many mansions in it, interesting. And then the wireless power connectors, what you would consider gates on the tops of the homes, that's all disappeared now. I mean, some of these structures are still there. But, you know, the further you step back in time, it gets a little murky, too. I think Tesla, you know, had a bunch of his own inventions, but I think that he was also pulling something that was even further back in the past that just been refound. Because you have to consider this, just a quick FYI, if you didn't know, the Romans were using compressed air energy technologies, compressed air, where they knew the force of the air could actually spin something. They were using that back in the Roman era. And then there was a complete blackout until about 1750, and then we found compressed air technologies again in France. And we started using that. Pneumatics, think anything, pneumatic drills, pneumatic tools. Anything pneumatic was compressed air. Now, why is it that it was around in the Roman era until, let's say, I'll even give it 500 AD, And then it disappeared completely until 750 AD. Like, why is that gap there? Did nobody jump ahead in technologies, or were we reset naturally in cyclical cataclysms that took a while for humanity to reemerge, is the question. Like, where did all these mansions come from? Some asked. But speaking about banking, this is another thing here. This is the first bank in the United States ever. Left side is the lithograph, and you notice those really convenient, well-built wooden buildings right next door to it, sharing a wall. Gilded Age, I thought they would be all like this. Shouldn't every building be the same if they had the same technologies to build everything? And then we came to take a look at it close up today with better photography, and look at that Gothic, or I should say Roman Greek architecture. And that was supposedly the first bank built right next to all the pig slop and the mud streets. And the brick buildings right next to it, and the things are made out of wood. Same neighborhood, cheap neighbors, bro. What are you thinking? So anyway, that's the story. That's the story we're given. So again, I want to jump back into some strangeness here. Now, Nikola Tesla, if you don't know, is the grandfather and the leading figure of wireless technologies, magnetic motors, and almost every electrical device that is in your home or you've ever seen or touched has Nikola Tesla technologies and fingerprints all over it. You know, you might think about Edison with the light bulb, but he was put in place to bring out more infrastructure in the current system during the current wars, alternating current, direct current. The more infrastructure you could put out, the more money was needed for mining and the more raw materials were needed for that infrastructure build out for that new system for electrification. See, Tesla wasn't playing the game either. He's like, we don't need that. Nor was Westinghouse. Start to hear these names in history when you glue them together. It's a little interesting. So Nikola Tesla to the left, Tesla coils, experimentation with using the Paleozoic electrical influences of our crust, along with the ether and the microvolt charge above the crust. And you could recycle that charge directed in a certain direction. If you had rods in the earth every so often, that would connect underground and you could recircle it in the air. That's what wireless power was all about. And this is back in the early 1900s, late 1800s. So why haven't we experimented with that? And we're back at solar panels digging through the ground again. So John Jacob Astor, Astor Hotel. Nikola Tesla turns up there after he got funded from J.P. Morgan and says, hey, Mr. Astor, I need a place to stay. And he takes him under his wing, starts to learn about all these technologies. He's like, I wonder if we could power our hotel with this. Wink, wink. And they did for a while. So anyway, Astor's on to this, funds Tesla to continue with his research over at Wycliffe Tower because J.P. Morgan pulled the funding. And here's why. It might become a threat to other industrial concerns that he was already committed to at the time. And this is J.P. Morgan. So the mining, the extraction of and production of chemicals, extraction of oils, leading into chemical production, pharmaceuticals, copper cabling, and like I say, the mining interest, J.P. Morgan was everywhere. So you think about a world that we would not have ever had one copper cable above our heads ever, and we could have drawn power and created it on demand in our homes in a little small unit half the size of my desk. If we would have started from that point instead of where we are today, I'm sure we would have touched into electrogravitics in a weightless travel at some point closely right thereafter, which they were already into. Marconi was as well. Marconi, the radio, the first S. So J.P. Morgan said, Marconi, he already broadcast the first S. Your Wycliffe Tower, I thought it was going to be a radio broadcast system. And Tesla says, it never was intended to that. It was intended for a free power distribution system so nobody would ever have to pay for power. And Morgan is like, whoa, we can't have anything for free. Hence, becoming a threat to the other industrial concerns. Because, I mean, if you're in the very beginning of wiring out America and say circa 1913 or 1914, how much money do you see in front of you? Timber interest. So Tesla's plan to provide wireless power and the funding was cut off. Okay, we understand that. No heartfelt requests, absolutely zero money. And then Astor says, yes, I'll give you money. I'll buy 500 shares of your company and continue to fund you while you do this research. Oh, by the way, I got to take a trip on this boat called the Titanic. Hold on. Not coming back. So the best way to describe it is, you know, in the air, there's a constant charge around us. And if you look into electroculture, where you wrap your plants with copper cables or copper wiring, it pulls from that millivolt charge out of the ether and then electrifies your plants and gives them extra, literally, growth energy from the ether. Well, if you look there in the very first paragraph, the fluid electrical charges running beneath the Earth's surface is otherwise termed as Paleozoic currents. It's currents that run through rock and water. So you know the pyramids of Egypt, there's water under those. There's a system of rivers under the pyramids. Now also, the granite that's used in there has a high silica concentrate. But if you know about chips, it's refined silica. So then you start to put these together and go, all right, well, some rocks, as in just granite, can transmit electricity. How about vast mining areas around the Great Lakes of iron ore in the rock? That can transmit electricity. How about huge bauxite reserves, aluminum? That can. How about the silver reserve? That can too. Gold reserves, that can do it too. So everywhere you look around the planet, there's many a mineral that can carry a current. And then combined with water, you have yourself an electrical circuit system. And that's what he was tapping into, literally. No pun intended. It really was. Putting different rods in the earth on a directional flow where they knew the current was and taking that underground in a looping system. And that's what Wycliffe Tower for was the recirculation point to push it back down into the earth. Because Wycliffe Tower was directly over an aquifer that they dug down into to get that initial seeding point to send out the current and then reloop it back. Free humankind, it's in blue. Tesla's thoughts, free humankind from the burdens of extracting, pumping, transporting, and burning fossil fuels, as he saw as sinful waste. But J.P. Morgan saw it as gold on the streets. That's the kind of world we had access to, and this is where the fight began for it. In the early 1900s. They're yapping today about stop the 1.5C rise, you got to limit, you got to eat bugs. Well, wait a second, you stole 100 plus years from us. We could have been back there already. And now we don't even get this tech. They want to run us to the garbage solar panels and a bunch of waste and e-waste and rare earth minerals and just junk that's going to pollute the planet instead of going for what we really need is magnetic motors. That's actually, there was a term for it, fuel-less generators. And as soon as J.P. Morgan heard fuel-less generators and all of his friends out in the investment community, they're like, you need to crush that dude like an insect. Remove all funding. That dude doesn't take another single step forward with technology or advances or invention because he wants to give away free power and he has the full capability to do it. We can't let him get any prototype models up and running. But then he teamed up with Westinghouse and, oh, what did they do? So here's Wycliffe Tower. And if you look at the possibilities of what it was for, it was very similar to something like this, tapping into the ether. And when you see different color spectrum, that's just different voltage charges that's coming through the atmosphere. Why do you think lightning is different colors sometimes? Sometimes it's red, sometimes it's yellow, sometimes it's white, sometimes it's blue, sometimes it's purple. That's all because it's cracking through with a different voltage through the substrate in the air. It's glowing plasma and it resonates at different frequencies depending on the voltage input into it. No different. 1917, federal government demolished that. Oh, wait, I thought it was a private residence. Now, how did they go? Oh, they thought it was German spies using it. Can you believe that? That was really the excuse given. Patent for it right here, Tesla magnifying apparatus for transmitting electrical energy. That's patent 1,119,732 in the U.S. Patent Office. Now, there's a huge amount of patents out there right now. So if you want to go through and look at the system for electrical distribution wirelessly, that was patented in when? Let me see. Can I read that? Do I need my reading glasses? 1888. We're talking way back. And they're trying to feed us solar panels and windmills when we had wireless technologies in 1888. By the way, the first cars were not combustion motors. The first cars were electric vehicles in 1880s also. So again, whether it would be compressed air technologies removed from human view from the Roman era to 17, say 50, and then it popped back up again, battery technologies were removed from human view in the 1880s and then suddenly popped back up again, what, 20 years ago? Like there's these substantial amounts of technology removed from the human domain and put back in at certain times. speaking of the Wycliffe Tower, this is Texas in 2019. They've been experimenting. This is a military facility. They're using the same exact technologies again. Again, it was removed because it was going to cause too much disruption in the economy. And now we start to see it pop back up again for usage in military, industrial uses there. So Tesla gets removed. JP Morgan, Astor dives in the Titanic. He needs to leave the hotel. He's got, you know, in today's $500,000 worth of bills. So he's bankrupt. And then he teams up with Westinghouse. And they go to work together to create the world's first hydroelectric facility running off of Niagara Falls. Anyway, this thing starts pumping power mad style. And lo and behold, they used it in the World's Fair. They call it the War of the Currents. The War of the Currents. See, there was an alternating system, alternating current or a direct current. And Edison and Tesla were battling for it, inventing different lighting systems for it, the twist-in light bulb, the screw-in light bulb. And you just go back and you say, really, the beginning of the electrical current wars was beginning in the 1880s. Now, there was no clear victor of which system was going to be the one that would be rolled out across the planet. Well, we see now that DC is rolled out over in Europe and AC systems here in the United States and North America. So the beginning of that, Nikola Tesla invents an entirely new electrical system for plug-in and then powers the World's Fair. Then this jumps into years later into this wireless technologies. And he's holding these light bulbs in his hand and they're just powered from the ether. That's scary for a lot of magnates that were counting on mining billions to come in. And you know, this is the World's Fair here in 1893. And now this is in Chicago, if you can believe it. And then apparently after the World's Fair, they needed to destroy all these buildings because they just weren't good enough to leave there as like offices or museums or anything. So what you're seeing here is actual representation, really what was built out for the World's Fair in 1893. And here, Nikola Tesla, one of my favorite people in history. You know, this wireless technology is still here for us, but you as an inventor would need to go off and develop your own because there's no commercial place that you can buy these technologies. The patents are out there. You're just gonna have to build your own and be super careful about it. Be careful. You can't commercialize it. You can never even talk about it. You don't do it in presentations. Don't talk about it. Don't mention it. Don't show your coupling systems. Just use it. That's still where we sit today. Today. So when you have a billionaire out in Pakistan says, hey, let's just dust off some of these patents and roll them through the hills of Pakistan. What do you think the world magnates of today do you think are going to do? If they had that much power back in the 1880s, 1900s, 1913, form the Federal Reserve, start world wars. How far do you think it's come in the last 120 years of power grab and consolidation and allegiance to the dark powers? Nikola Tesla, these patents here, 1889, patent number 405,858, electric magnetic motor, meaning using the Earth's magnetic field. And then we have patent number 382,279, patent in 1888, a different type of magnetic motor. All right, so how does this work here? Shahzada Dawood spoke at the World Economic Forum, and the main involvement was for improving livelihoods of women, girls, and was how much opposed to the central bank digital currency rollout is still an unknown. You know, I've been digging down through a lot of articles. I'm trying to call some reporters over in Pakistan and ask. It's an unknown how much pushback there really was against the CBDC from their end of their consortium of companies vocally against it. Parandev Magnetic Motors, what is being rolled out or was planned to be rolled out in Pakistan? Right here on your screen. I have the patents for you below, which I'll get to in just a second. So they're called Parandev Magnetic Motors. And what you need is neodymium magnets 50. The schematics is basically two wheels that roll inside of each other. So think of it when you were a kid in school and you had the two magnets on the desk and you pushed one, and if it was of the same polarity, it would push itself apart. And you could never get them to connect. And if you tried to squeeze them, they always bounced apart. Remember those days back when it was fun when we were kids? just scale it up to neodymium magnets and then get that magnetic coupling to push continuously in a circle. Now, they're all oriented exactly the same polarity, because if they were opposite, they would snap together and lock together. You want it the opposite, so they're going to continually push away from each other at all the times. Now, the varying degrees of tilt on the magnets is fascinating, too, because sacred numerology puts 36 as a number that we see throughout history. Now, magnets orient them at 36 degrees. Again, there's a lot of encoding of different knowledge throughout history, you know, in the religions as well. So here's the diagrams if you would like to build one of these. You're going to need some sort of substrate. You can use aluminum. You can use cast plastics. You're going to need a CNC lathe, and you're going to have to go at this. You're going to need some sort of metallic housing for it so it doesn't spin. This thing rolls. It's kind of noisy, too. You need a housing box for it. Just saying. But when it starts to spin, you're going to be going in well excess of 1,200 to 1,700 RPMs. If this thing flies apart at any point in your journey of discovery of how to build one of these things, you would definitely want to stand behind something or put some sort of shielding up when you first run with it to make sure that your whatever poured substrate is going to be hard enough to take that cavitation. You can use aluminum housing too, which is much safer and it's non-magnetic. Now you notice the diagram on the left is very simple, and you know, you just one inside circle has all the magnets. You could choose north or south, doesn't matter, but they need to all be oriented so the magnetic polarity is facing each other. So it does continue to push away each time it makes and breaks that contact on the block wall. And as we're wrapping up here, here's the Parandev magnetic motor patents. There's several of them, so you can start here. You can go to the U.S. Patent Office, and once you start typing these numbers in and looking for different patents across Europe and the United States, you will come into what you seek. But I just can't believe that this world that we're in right now, we have the exact same overlays of those destroyed or drowned in water, lost at sea, that wanted to make a betterment for the world. You see the world where we are now. I mean, how much change can we make? It's going to be at your very local level first. But I would warn you from experience, if you build these motors, you're going to have eyes. You're going to need to be extremely cautious. You're not going to go blasting this out to your neighborhood and telling everybody that you have it. You can use it for your home use, and that's where it needs to stay for emergencies. If you try to commercialize it, you and your family will have a very difficult time. You'll end up like those people down there in what? The Ocean Gate submarine, which is a sad fact. Hope their families wish them the best as these days progress. But anyway, knowledge is your armor. Bye for now.